Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to my podcast, where I tell you about Nashville's great baseball history and traditions.
Shot to right, a one-hop liner.
Certainly about its past, especially about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphur Dell, but also a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can. It makes the waist-high catch.
And I introduce you to players, coaches, and other fans and their love for everything baseball.
A high fly ball down the right field corner, going way back, hits a leadoff home run.
I'm grateful to you, Steve Berger, for joining me today because I know you. I knew you a little bit about your career. I'm a year older than you, but I would just want to tell those who are listening that Steve is a 1969 graduate of Donelson High School, and he excelled in football, basketball, and baseball. He was an all-national player in all three sports. And I want to tell you, Steve, I admire you for that. Your career in sports is just like, if you remember Joe Casey, Casey, the Metro policeman, was a friend of my dad's. They grew up across the street from each other. When my dad died, he called me and he said, I've heard stories about you and your brother talking from your dad. Why don't you just call me Uncle Joe? He knew I needed somebody like that. So I would go to his home, you know, four or five times a year until he passed away last year.
Yeah.
And
he was
a good man. And not non-controversial, but he was a good man. I think deep down inside, he had a good heart.
Right.
He loved his service. But he was similar to you in your career. He was at North High School many years before you. But, you know, you grew up in Donelson. You played Little League, Babe Ruth, American Legion, post-88 baseball. And I think you're married to your high school sweetheart, Debbie Cathy.
Yes.
And you have three children, Stephanie, Chad, and Cindy.
Correct.
And you have eight grandchildren.
That's correct.
And I'm sure that keeps you busy.
Yes.
We had
a four-year-old ball game yesterday. We watched him play.
Nothing like it, I'll tell you. Nothing like it. Well, you know, and you and I've kind of connected through. I knew who you were. I was not a great athlete. I think you were, and I admire you for that. But we kind of connected through old timers. And one of the things I admired about you is you stepped up when needed a treasure, and you said you'd do that, and you didn't just lay it out there and say I'll do it, and then not participate. And you participated, and I admire you for that. And I love old timers.
Yes.
I just have a dear love for it. And so that we can continue some of the things that people like Farrell Owens and Roy McDonald and others laid out for us. And Larry Taylor was Junie McBride. Those were great old names, and they just loved old timers. And
yes,
be proud to know we continue them. So anyway, I admire you for being the treasure. I know your sports career was broad, but particularly since this is a baseball podcast, when did you first pick up a baseball? Do you remember?
I went out. Donelson Little League had tryouts. And it was just any team. And I went out when I was eight. And I didn't make it. Now, I don't remember being really tore up about it. Because back then, we were riding our bicycle. And we had all our friends out in the neighborhood playing. So I went back out my next year, which was a nine-year-old. And I made a team. They put me on a minor league team. And my dad at that time was the traditional traveling salesman. You know, he'd leave on Monday and come back Thursday. So he saw a game or two, but he didn't see them all. Mm. Well, by the end of the year, I got selected as a minor league all-star. And I told him that. And he said, there's no way. You know, I just enjoyed playing so much that I made myself get better with, you know, working around teammates and so forth. So right. I basically, to answer your question, I started when I was 9 years old.
Right. That's good. Yeah. Undoubtedly your dad was an influence on you then for your sports. Tell me about your mom and dad.
Well, they raised nine kids. We'll start with that. I've got five sisters and three brothers. We had one bathroom, which really made it a you had to get up early to get in the bathroom. So I still get up early, and I tell my wife that's why I wanted to be first at the bathroom.
Oh,
yeah. And my dad, he worked at the same job for probably 50 years, ended up dying of cancer. And my mom was always a stay-at-home mom, which makes sense because you got that many kids, you got to stay home and take care of them. They were always there. You know, when I played any sport, they were there. I don't care if it was 300 miles away, they were going to be there. So, and they never, they only supported me that way. They didn't come and say, you should have done this, this, or this. They just were there.
That's good.
Yeah. And those were my parents.
Yeah. Did any of your siblings play sports?
My older brother played and my younger brother played. Not long, but they both played a little bit of football.
Yeah.
And my sister plays a bunch of golf, and I didn't even realize she was such a good athlete until she told me she's playing.
Shoot, that's great. In some of the early years, as early as 1966, I found that you played, I think, for Lions Club and Babe Ruth and named the All-Star team and maybe played for Kiwanis one year. I did find out that you threw a no-hitter against Lafayette in the
district
tournament.
That's correct, yeah.
Right. And you won the district crown when you threw a one-hitter against Lebanon. Do you remember any of those times, or was there a highlight for you during those years, the Babe Ruth
years?
Well,
obviously the no-hitter was the big game. You know, I remember my coach at the time, Mr. Wilson, and he was a big influence on me, not fundamentally, but just as a person.
Yeah.
And that seemed to be a theme of the guys I played for. They were just good people. Yeah, I remember playing at the old Babe Ruth Park, which is not there anymore. It's gone.
Right.
And I do remember the tournament, you know, vaguely, but I guess the no-hitter obviously was the highlight of that.
I guess so. Yeah. You know, when you went to high school, there were some great players. There are some great names that run concurrent with yours, like Mike Willis and Jeff Peoples and even Wayne Garland, Butch Stinson. Richard Hurt. I remember playing against Richard Hurt when he was at Lytton. Johnny Kyle now, I think, was he a pretty good baseball player?
He was a
teammate
of
yours at Donaldson.
Yeah. He was a real good player.
Who else at Donaldson?
Bill Bevins he was a year behind me, but he was a catcher and he caught me in a lot of the games I threw in. Kenny Johnson. You remember Kenny as a football player, but he was a good baseball player too.
Yeah.
They had some guys before that. My brother-in-law, who's now deceased, was W.A. Wright. Yeah. And W.A. played on that 64 team. Yeah. And that was a big influence on me because I used to go watch them play every game. Those are the ones that come to mind.
What did you play at Donaldson? I know you pitched, obviously. What else? Did you play another position?
Played outfield. I played center field and pitched, yeah.
Did you have a pretty good arm from center field to home plate?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I got it there.
Your Bill Jones was your coach.
And he was my football coach, too.
Yeah. What kind of influence was he on you?
I liked him. He was a good man. He moved down from Kentucky, I think Glasgow. You know, I really liked talking to him. He was the kind of guy that if you had any issues, you could go and talk to him. And I liked that as a coach.
Oh, yeah.
So he was a good man.
Tell me about Post-88. Your coach there was?
Corlew Bowden. Corlew was like a second father to me.
Yeah.
And his wife, Pauline, was business college basketball player. You remember, I'm sure, those teams.
Oh, yeah.
And she was tough. She didn't hold back.
Yeah.
But they were good people. They fed me well. I would eat a steak every Sunday. And they were big Vanderbilt fans. Yeah. So when I started getting recruiting, they were really pushing me to go there. But I enjoyed playing for Corlew. He was the kind. He was a good man. He didn't know fundamentals, but he was a good man. He took care of us.
And how successful were those post-88 teams?
I think we won our division or whatever that post-88 league was and then went and played in the state. We went to Memphis and got beat the first game, 1-0. So it was brief, but, you know, post-5 had Butch Stinson and some people like that. It was a good league. Post-88, 82, which was in your area, I think, out in Stratford and Englewood. Yeah. We played most of our games out at TPS, and it seemed like it was 100 degrees every time we played.
Now, after high school, you went to Vanderbilt on a football scholarship.
Yes.
And you also played baseball for Coach Schmitto.
Yeah.
Who I admire him to no end for all the things that he's accomplished and what he's meant to Nashville and Vanderbilt, of course.
Yeah, me too. Football was the route to go, but, you know, just baseball at that time wasn't giving out a lot of money to go play somewhere. So I went to Vanderbilt to play football and begged every year to play baseball. And I ended up playing between my sophomore and junior year, but I still had to go to spring football practice. Coach Schmitto would work me around my practices. I was pitching a lot during the middle of the week. then my next year, my last year was the year after I finished football. So it didn't interfere with anything. I was there the whole spring. So I tried to play every year. I tried. And Jeff Peebles did. And I'm sure when they recruited him, he must have had an agreement. If he went there, he was going to be able to play baseball every year.
Yeah.
And I wasn't smart enough to do something like that.
Larry Schmitto admires you too and thinks, says you're one of the great players. And one reason he admires you, he told me, and I've asked you about this before, that during a game, spring football was going on. And when the game was over, maybe, or the practice was over, you showed up in the dugout.
Well, I would always go to him when we got through if they were playing and say, "Do you need me?" And this time he said yes, which I was glad. It was an SEC game. I think it was Georgia, if I remember right. But I went in, got my uniform on, came back out. And I think I ended up coming in relief towards the latter part of the game. Yeah. But that was true.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, those are great stories. Now, you played at Vanderbilt. You had the good fortune of playing on that 72 team that was runner-up in the SEC.
Right.
And then the 1974 team that won the SEC championship. I think that was Vanderbilt's first SEC championship in baseball.
73 was. 72, to me, was the best team out of those three.
Yeah.
But we played a hot Ole Miss. I mean, they just played well. Back then, it was Western, Eastern versus each other, two out of three, and they've swept us in two. But I thought we had a good team in 72. And I think 74, I think we overachieved. There's just something about winning. You know, Coach Schmitto had that culture at the time there that you go out and you win games. You win big games. That's what we did.
Yeah, you remember any of the teammates there? And do you stay in touch with any of those teammates?
Yeah, we meet quite often. Ricky Rhodes was a left-handed pitcher. Bill Harden, Ted Shipley, who was a shortstop, led the SEC in stolen bases. And also home runs. Gene Manese, who you know.
Yeah.
Ernie Leonard, which is George Leonard's son.
Right.
Steve Chandler was from Kentucky, Lexington. Fred Fisher, who played football. Steve Tinsley called. But what Coach Schmitto would do then, because he was limited on the number of scholarships we had, he would try to supplement that with football players, basketball players, guys that are already paid for, that are already there, that he was recruiting for a different sport. He was the football recruiter at that time. So we had a lot of guys that played football. Jimmy Kahn played basketball. He was on one of those teams. Watson Brown played in 72. Fred Fisher was a football player. So we had quite a few guys.
I think Schmitto used all the tools available to him, and sometimes he had to be creative.
To fill the team.
Now, while you were at Vanderbilt, you also played Tri-State League. And a lot of people don't know what the Tri-State League is. I want to brag on you a little bit. You were a two-time MVP of the league in 71 and 74. And from what I'm reading, believed to be the only player to win this honor more than once. I think Farrell actually had written that, Farrell Owens.
He did, yeah.
And then you played initially with Tennessee Pride Eggs and then later with Harry and Smith.
Right.
Some of the teammates that you might remember from those two teams or those teams that you played for?
First of all, when I was playing football, I kept playing baseball every summer. So it wasn't like I laid off 2 years and went back up for baseball. I was still playing.
Yeah.
But after my freshman year, I still had 1 year of eligibility in the American Legion. So I played it. And then the next year I went with Tennessee Pride Eggs. We had Farrell Owens was on the team, Jimmy Ferguson, Wayne Rancorn, Donnie Pope, John Morgan.
Great names.
Roy Carter, Steve Garner. Yeah. I mean, we had some good players on that team.
Yeah.
And you had a mixture of guys. You had a guy like me who was 19, and then you had those other guys that, like Farrell and them, they'd finished college and they were still playing. Had other teams where they were still playing. Russ Wingo must have been, I don't know how old he was, but he looked like he was late 30, 40, and he was still pitching. Jim Cosman pitched for us for a while when he got through with the big league. So it was a good league. It was, you know, it's competitive. You had to play.
And there were some hot Sunday afternoons, I guess, at Shelby and Centennial.
Oh, God. It was unbearable sometimes. But that's what the hand you were dealt. So that's where you had to play.
With Tennessee Pride Eggs in 71, you were selected to the All-Star team with a 4-0 record midseason. And your earned run average was an amazing 1. 1.00, and you struck out 42. I think you had 20 hits against you, according to the stat that I read. But you had 1.0 ERA. It's pretty special. Who was the manager of Eggs, the TP?
Jimmy Ferguson was our manager. Yeah, he was the player coach. He played third base. Later on, Farrell coached.
And you were on that 73 Harry and Smith team. That was a great team, too.
Yeah.
Was that what? Did Farrell manage that one?
Farrell managed, and I can't remember what year we went to Wichita, Kansas, and played. But at that time, I can't remember the specifics about it, but he ended up flying me out there because I think Jerry Bell or one of those guys couldn't make it, and he wanted me to come out and pitch a game for him. So he flew me out there, and I pitched a game, and it was against one of those Alaska teams. You remember college players went up there and played, and I struggled, but I kept us in the game. We ended up losing. Then I flew back. So,
yeah, that team won the state championship in Knoxville, finished third in the Stan Musial Regionals. But in 76, you pitched again for Horry and Smith. The state tournament was in Chattanooga.
Yes.
And the regional in Lenoir, North Carolina. And then this is the national tournament in Wichita. So that would have been 76.
Correct. That was the one, yep.
And then not to shorten your career, any, but after you played, I don't know with how much longer you continued to play, but when your playing days were over, you began coaching.
Yes.
How much fun was that?
Well, I enjoyed it a lot. I just wanted to be around the sport, you know, and be able to participate in it in any way that I could. Yeah. My first year, I coached at Tweedy City, and then I moved over to Worth, who just started their own program there. Coached there for probably 5 years, and then Mike Ripito had Shoe Teaks, so I joined up with Mike, and I coached there until 96, I think it was.
And 96 was a special year.
Babe
Ruth World Series championship.
Yes. Manio, North Carolina is where we played.
Wow.
Little bitty town, but that was back where when your players went to the tournament, you stayed with host families, which was for a coach the ultimate because you didn't have to keep up with them.
I've told people who are listening about your success in sports, but did you have a favorite between football, baseball, basketball?
Baseball was always my favorite. And I will say basketball was probably my second and then football. But, you know, when I played any of them, I just played to be competitive and enjoy it. I don't remember ever looking back and say I'm playing because I'm going to get a scholarship.
Right.
You know, that just happened to occur. Yeah. Out of nowhere, it seemed like. So.
Oh, yeah. Coach, you had a lot of coaches. Did you have a favorite coach? I put you on the spot.
Well, Coach Schmitto by far was my favorite coach. Yeah. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have got a degree from Vanderbilt. My last year of football, I was a bad student. I just didn't apply myself and ended up basically getting told not to come back by the university. And that was going into the 73 baseball year. So I was ineligible to play in 73, and that's why I ended up playing 74. But I was married and had a daughter, and I was just going to go to work, start making a living. I don't know if I'd have ever gone back. I know I wouldn't have gone back to Vanderbilt. I'd gone to another college maybe.
Right.
Coach Schmitto calls me, and he says, you got another year of baseball eligibility. I said, no, I didn't know that. I said, I got two problems. One, I can't afford it. I didn't make it academically. He said, let me see what I can do. So Steve Sloan, that was his first year as a football coach. So he went and talked to Coach Sloan, and Coach Sloan hired me as a graduate assistant, which paid for my school. And then he went, talked the university into letting me back in under conditions. I had to take some 6 week courses over at Skerritt to kind of get back in eligibility, and then ended up playing that 74 year. But I would have never played that year if he hadn't called me.
I asked Larry to give me something I can ask you, Larry Schmitto. And he said, be sure and ask him what his GPA was at Skerritt.
That's exactly where I took the 6 hours to get eligible.
Yeah,
he still crows about that.
he thought you'd get a chuckle out of that.
It was better than it was at Vanderbilt. Let's put it that way.
Is there a highlight in baseball? I mean, you talk about a lot of championships, a no-hitter or two, and striking out a bunch of guys, low ERA. Well, but is there one highlight that would stick out?
You know, after playing football and not being as successful as we wanted to be. You know, we win three or four games a year. I just coming back and playing on a championship team like we did in 1974, to me, that was the highlight of, you know, my college career, but probably among other things, that was probably my biggest memory that I really cherish.
How about an accolade or two? You were inducted into the Metro Nashville Public Schools Hall of Fame in 2018. I'm sure that was a special one for you.
It was, yes.
Are you retired?
I am retired, yeah.
What did you do?
Well, I was always in the construction material business. The last company I was with manufactured block, and I kind of looked after five plants. But that's what I did pretty much through my career.
Well, Steve, this has been a delight. We've covered the highlights. I could sit and talk to you all day. I mean, I think that's one of the great things about old timers, that we can connect on the subject of baseball and, of course, many other things. Family is just about everything.
Yes.
Faith, family, and our country. And
right.
Baseball is up there. It's not in that top three, but it's up there.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that we were able to have this conversation. I'm grateful to know you. I'm grateful for you to spend your time. I admire you. And once again, I'm glad that we are old timers together.